Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. This is your host, Scott Fullerton, and I am on my last gay nerve today. I'm so sorry. Wow, it's been a busy day here. How's everyone doing out there in Radioland? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Left of Straight Show. Again, this is Scott Fullerton right here on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you from beautiful Northeast Ohio. And I say that mockingly, as I've been dealing with about 13 inches of snow all day today that fell overnight, and been trying to get out of my driveway and out of the yard. It's been horrible. But welcome, everyone. It's Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. I have a fantastic show for you today. Got some excellent guests. First, we have an actor and ally, Benjamin Farmer, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with him. He was in one of my favorite movies I saw recently. Then we have Josh Daly, who, along with one of his fellow students, started the first Gay Straight Alliance at their high school, right in the Bible Belt state of Tennessee. And then finally, I'm bringing a great friend of mine and the show, Kevin Hogan, founder of Healing Stigma, and the newest member of the Left of Straight Radio family, as my new co-host on our Thursday night show, Healing Stigma, on Left of Straight Radio. We are going to talk all about that a little bit later. But yeah, it's been a crazy day, and thank you so much for tuning in. The chat room is open now. I was even a little late opening up the chat room. If you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight, and that's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8, you will find the chat room down below there. So welcome, and it's been a crazy day. So I'm going to calm down, take a nice big breath here, and let's get into what we have going on. First thing I want to talk about a little about yesterday's show. If you weren't able to tune in to my Monday show on UBN Radio, had a great time with Jasper Cole. Jasper's been in over 100-plus movies, commercials, television shows. You always see him lately kind of playing the bad guy. But he is a fantastic actor. Also another great radio host on UBN, one of my fellow compadres over there at UBN. He does a couple of – his show is called One-on-One with Jasper Cole, and he has a great interview show as well. So I had a great time talking with Jasper yesterday, talking all about inside baseball and inside the entertainment industry, all the things that were going on. And he was just a fantastic guest. We actually ran out of time, so we're going to have him on the Tuesday show sometime very soon to keep talking about all the interesting things going on in his life. So that was good. You can always check the UBN shows on the website, www.leftofstraight.com. I usually put those up Wednesday, both shows up, the Wednesday and the Tuesday shows. I put the rebroadcast podcast up on the website. You can also go to the ubnradio.com page and look under shows, under Left of Straight Show, and that shows all my older shows there. You can listen to all of them there. And, of course, it comes out on iTunes in just a couple of days. So great show with Jasper. You have to definitely look that up. And actually, UBN, my other channel that I'm on, is having a big live event this weekend. It's in Los Angeles. It's called the L.A. Let me see if I make sure I get the name right. L.A. Conscious Life Expo at the Airport Hilton. Starts this Friday, February 18th, 2 p.m., live streaming on ubnradio.com on Channel 3, and just a great whole weekend about positive living, positivity and the energy that everyone brings to everything. And there's so many speakers, so many little workshops they have going on. But UBN, you don't have to be in LA. They are going to be live streaming a lot of those events. So I hope you'll head over and check those out as well. Also, if you didn't hear the show last week, you know I've had a kind of a little difficult week in and of itself. I've had electronic nightmares, so to speak. After last Tuesday night's show, after I talked to y'all, I went to go settle in and watch my TV, and my TV picture literally blew out. No picture on my television. So that went out, and so no relaxation that way. And then Wednesday night, I did a fantastic pre-tape interview with Paul Ruggieri. He's going to be on next Tuesday, a week from today. And if you don't know who Paul is, he is an Olympian. He's going to be representing the United States this summer at the Olympic Games in Rio. We are 99.9% sure he starts out this weekend with the Winter Cup. And we had a great pre-tape interview on Wednesday to talk about his road to Rio. And it'll be on next Tuesday. But after that interview Wednesday night, went to bed around midnight, got up Thursday morning, and my computer had died. Nothing on the screen of my computer. So I don't know what I did to upset the computer or electronic gods, but I blew out my TV and my laptop in one fell swoop 2 days apart last week. So that was kind of a mess, but luckily, I have a backup laptop that my mom had that I'm able to use and kind of get the show going. I was able to recover the hard drive finally the other day because I had none of my music or promos or anything for the radio shows. But I was able to recover that and get that back on Monday, yesterday. And it was a little crazy. TV, we're still getting that worked out. But crazy week here for Left of Straight, I'm telling you. But let's see what's going on in the news. So much happening in political news. As you know, I'm getting a little more political as the year goes on, since it is a very important presidential year, and the stakes just got high over the weekend. Unfortunately, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia passed away peacefully in his sleep, thank goodness. And no matter what you think of anybody that serves our country, he served the country to the best of his ability. I did not agree with 99% of his decisions, and I frankly am glad he can't make any more decisions on the Supreme Court, but you never want to wish anyone ill like that. So for his family, he had a beautiful wife. He had 9 great kids. He had 36 grandchildren, lived a full life to 79, but unfortunately passed away on Saturday, leaving the entire political process just topsy-turvy, unbelievable. The Republicans went out immediately and said there would be no confirming of any new Supreme Court justice, which is just totally against the Constitution and what Antonin Scalia was all about. So it's going to be high stakes for the president, because this president, no matter what, even President Obama is going to appoint somebody, but 99% everyone agrees that no matter who it is, the Republicans are not going to pass it through the Senate and make that person be confirmed. So it's really kind of crazy that we're not going to have a Supreme Court justice for a while, and now the presidency will definitely be appointing one next year probably, which makes it that much more important. It's now a split court. 4 relatively conservatives and 4 relatively liberals along their voting lines there. So until something has changed, it's going to be very interesting in the world of politics. And the last thing I'll say on politics this week, Marco Rubio, he's my scariest candidate out there, folks. Marco Rubio is a good-looking guy, young, energetic senator. But, man, his policies, he went so far as on Sunday, he put together a panel, got a group of advisors to see how to overturn all the LGBT legislation that's gone through. He wants to overturn not only the Obergefell, where he got gay marriage legal across the country, he wants to turn over Windsor that did it for California, and he has put together a specialized panel of churchgoers and elected officials to try to repeal everything that was pro-LGBT over the past Obama term. So Marco Rubio is the one to watch out for. Please do not tell your friends of all the Republicans he is the worst out there. So that was very, very interesting stuff. So too much going on in politics. It's absolutely crazy out there right now. A couple other things we'll talk about before we have our first guest, Benjamin Farmer, calling in. Paul Rudd, one of my favorite actors, he was on Ant-Man, played Ant-Man, the Marvel superhero, most recently, been in a lot of movies and television shows. He is getting ready to film a new movie called An Ideal Home as part of a married gay couple. His partner's a celebrity, and he's kind of a shy wallflower, kind of hides behind. And his partner's grandson comes to visit, which must be a May-December romance because Paul Rudd never looks that old. But his partner's grandson comes to visit, causing all sorts of hilarity to come about, as you can imagine. And the interesting thing, it's being directed by Out director Andrew Fleming. And he did movies like The Craft and Dick, which is actually about Richard Nixon. And it's going to be a real interesting movie. And I love anything Paul Rudd does. So that's going to be a real kind of fun movie. If you remember, he already played gay once before in Object of My Affection with Jennifer Aniston and Allison Janney, and that was pretty interesting. And he's been on Jimmy Fallon, done some great lip-sync battles. So Paul Rudd is one of my favorite actors, and he will be in this new movie I want you to look for called An Ideal Home. Next thing I want to chat about, American Idol alumnus Ravon Owen came out over the weekend by putting out his new music video called Can't Fight It. And the video talks about finding lover and everything, and at the very end of the movie, of the video, he ends up kissing his real life boyfriend, Shane Bitney Crone. And Shane Crone has been such an idol of mine for so long. If the name sounds familiar, he created the movie Bridegroom when his husband accidentally died off falling off a roof, and all the drama that surrounded how he was not able to go to his boyfriend's funeral at the time, They weren't, marriage wasn't legal back then. And all the family problems, he turned into a beautiful movie called Bridegroom. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. You have to see that movie. But I've just been a fan of Shane Crone's for so long. He's been a good Twitter friend. I try to shout him out on Twitter, and he kind of replies back when he can. And I honestly didn't know he was dating, but I guess they ran into each other in 2013, have been dating ever since. And I am very, very excited to have that video out. And when you have a chance, definitely look for it. And he will be – oops, one second here. Looks like our first guest is trying to get it in. Give me one second. I'm going to try. He's having trouble calling in. I'm going to go ahead and put a song on real quick, and I'm going to get Benjamin on the line. Give me one second. We're going to do our good friend of the show, John Williams, from UBN Radio, in his live, unedited version of Circle of Life. We'll be back on Left to Straight Radio with Benjamin Farmer in just a moment.
Stepped into the storm. born to be seen. They can never be seen. More to do, they can never be gone. Some say he or be you. Some say live and let live. All are free, have to join the stampede. You should never take more than you keep. It's a circle of life.
That was our good friend John Williams out there in Los Angeles with his live unedited version of Circle of Life. So excited when I can play one of Johnny's songs. That's so exciting. All right, guys. Well, we got Ben through. Of course, I think I gave him the wrong phone number, so we got everything taken care of as far as technical controls, and I'm so excited to have him on. He's an actor and an ally, now living in New York City with his lovely wife, Megan, and he first came to my attention in the fantastic movie The Falls. It's about two Mormons who fall in love during their mission work in small town Oregon. The movie was so popular, he even went on to film a sequel, and he's been busy acting in lots of other roles, from television series Grimm to the announced future film Get That Girl, please welcome the very talented actor, Benjamin Farmer. Benjamin, how you doing today?
I'm very well. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm so excited to get you to call in. How's everything going?
Yeah. Not too bad, actually. You know, New York is, she's brutal and beautiful, you know. We've had some really interesting weather over the last month from,
has the snow hit you yet today?
We had some snow yesterday. We've had rain all day, and then we had, you know, 60-degree day about a week ago. So it's you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes, you know.
Exactly. Well, I was telling the listeners earlier, I'm from beautiful downtown Northeast Ohio here, right? And we were supposed to maybe have 6 to 10 inches of snow last night if it hit us, but they always kind of go around us. So I woke up this morning to 13 inches of snow.
Oh, my
goodness. All over the driveway. It's been crazy.
They were telling us the same thing. They were like, yeah, maybe 2 to 6 inches when it hits you. We ended up getting, I think, around 27. We were like half an inch short of our all-time 24-hour record. It was absolute insanity. But my dog loved it. So
I'm sure. Exactly.
He went nuts. Yeah.
Well, man, I'm so excited to have you on. Like I said, I found you and kind of fell in love with you and Nick Frucci's performances in the movie The Falls. I was so happy I was able to kind of stalk you or find you on Facebook, whatever it is that now these days, however that goes. And thanks so much for being on the show.
Of course, yeah. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Let's start at the very beginning. I like to have all my first guests kind of tell a little bit about where they're from. You're from the West Coast. Talk about growing up and where you went to school and what first got you into acting.
Man, so I born and raised in Salem, Oregon. Lived there for most of my life. What got me into acting, I guess growing up sort of ties in with that. I was always in the choir from preschool all the way through senior year of high school. My mom actually helped teach the choir, and we had a couple of performances and presentations every single year. So I was always up in front of people doing something. I have an identical twin brother. And
I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, he and I are, of course, best friends. And growing up, we would always – you know, we would go outside and play, you know, and reenact the movies we watched on TV, whether it be, you know, Star Wars or Indiana Jones or episodes of X-Men. You know, we'd go and reenact those kinds of things and you know, play as our favorite characters and things like that. So I feel like acting just, you know, it just came the most natural and it made the most sense, I suppose, because, you know, I've always been playing make-believe, but I didn't really get into it until after I graduated high school, because I went to a very small private school in Salem. Just to give you an idea, there were 5 people in my graduating class, including me. So that's how...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 5 people, including myself. So again, that sort of gives you an idea of how small we were, but wasn't until I actually graduated and... went to Chemeketa Community College in Salem and got into their theater department, that I was really introduced to a wider world of theater and playwrights. The high school I went to was a private school, so everything had to be Christian-based, and so we weren't able to do really anything that wasn't based on, you know, either a Christian author or Christian values. So again, it wasn't until after I graduated high school that I really had my eyes open to the bigger world of theater, I suppose. So.
Wow! And you went through the theater program through college, Jennifer?
Yeah, I attended Chemeketa for about a year and a half. I didn't know if I wanted to get my degree, you know, if I wanted to sit through a bunch of math and history classes in order to, you know, get my bachelor's in theater arts or whatever the equivalent is. About a year and a half in, I was doing plays at Chemeketa and at a local theater in Salem when some friends and I decided to audition for the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, which is located both in New York and Los Angeles. It's it's now a 4-year conservatory, but back then it was a 2-year. So we auditioned for AMDA, went up to Portland on a whim, and we auditioned for them. And a couple of weeks later, I found out I got accepted, and I chose the New York City campus. And I lived in New York 2005 and 2006, so I attended the school for 2 years and got conservatory training here in New York City. So
that is so awesome. Now, is your brother into the acting as well, or what kind of field did he pursue?
No, but he has a massive amount of respect for it. He's very much into movies and like that weird IMDb knowledge that you just bring up at parties. You know, there's totally useless knowledge at any other place. But you know, he and I, whenever we talk, we always talk about, you know, what's playing theater and stuff like that. But no, he's former military. He actually works at the state penitentiary in Oregon. You know, short hair, sleeve tattoos, ears pierced. If you saw him walking down the street, it'd be me with like 15 pounds of added muscle and just walking around like just ready, you know, just ready to totally just beat somebody
up. Being the badass that he is, eh?
He really is. He's the badass of the two of us. But he's like the nicest guy. It's just the nature of his job where he's just ready. But yeah, same sense of humor, same vocal tone and quality. And but yeah, the acting bug never really bit him, I guess. So.
Very cool. So then you did your 2 years of conservatory, then you decided to go back to Oregon. Did you go directly to Portland? You stay in the Salem area? Where'd you go?
You know, I went back to Oregon because I was dating a girl at the time, and I thought she and I were going to get married, but went back. The relationship sort of fell apart, you know, as they usually do when you're 21, 22, and try to maintain
as they do,
a 3,000-mile distance relationship, you know. So after that fell apart, I just threw myself into whatever acting I could get. And then I figured, you know, Portland was so close to my hometown that I would just sort of test the water and see what's up there. And I, through a very strange, turn of events, I ended up, meeting with and signing with, my first agent up in Portland, right before I moved up there. And then I started auditioning for film and television, and then I got cast in a musical before I moved out there. So, I just not having that relationship anymore sort of forced me just to get to work and get busy and sort of work through it all that way. And I'm really glad I did. So.
That is so nice. I love Portland. I lived in Portland actually for 4 years before I moved back here to Ohio. Yeah, I loved it there. My best friend moved up there to go to chiropractic college. I have that great chiropractic college up there in Portland.
Yeah,
kind of in between Portland and Mount Hood there.
So it's not OHSU. I'm not totally familiar with what school it is, but I mean,
yeah, I think it's called Western States. I don't even remember anymore.
To
tell you the truth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's called Western States Chiropractic, but I don't remember anymore, to tell you.
If there's a good chiropractic school anywhere, I imagine it would be in Oregon for some reason. I'm just like, well, yeah, that makes total sense. It would definitely be in Oregon.
I was a restaurant guy most of my life, so it's like restaurants, you know, you can move around pretty easily. So I decided to go on up to Portland with him, and just, it's a great city. I mean, it's so much, the music scene, of course, was the huge because of all the grunge scene, right? But kind of before I got there, I'm a lot older than you, but it's like I got there a little after the grunge music, but there was still really good arts and everything. They had the theater, they had Powell Books, of course, which is out of this freaking world, and the LGBT scene was actually pretty decent too in the area. Yeah. And so it was an interesting place to live for 4 years, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's changed so much. I mean, even within the last couple of years, I mean, the cat's out of the bag as far as, like, you know, city, I guess, popular cities to live in, you know. Rent prices have just skyrocketed, I guess, like freeways are at capacity. It's an amazing place to live, but a lot of my friends are like, please stop moving to Portland because we can't take anymore. We're full, you know.
Oh, that's too bad because it was so nice.
Yeah,
it
is. It's just a beautiful place, and, yeah, I really miss it. It's definitely night and day from living in New York City.
Oh, yeah, all the festivals along the water and all that during the summer is just a blast.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it a lot.
And just the trees and everything. You're just like, I guess, living in New York for, you know, almost 6 months, and I'm like, wow, I really miss pine trees.
You know? The only thing I didn't like about Portland was those ice storms they'd have come in off the gorge there, and it was
you get
inch of ice on all the trees and the roads, and that was a little treacherous.
I'm sure it looks beautiful, but, yeah, I would not want to drive in that. Absolutely not. I pretty much hung out on the west side of town. I know the west side of Portland, like the back of my hand, but you put me on the east side, and I'm just completely lost. So anything having to do with the Gorge.
The west side was
the
artsy part. Northwest 13th and all that was where all the artsy people hung out.
Right, exactly, exactly, yeah. Yeah,
the hip restaurants and all the fun places. I spent lots of time in Northwest Side there.
That's awesome.
And actually, it's becoming quite a big filming place now. I mean, Sean Hayes brought Grimm there, which you were on.
Yeah.
And there's
a
lot of filming happening in Portland right now, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is. Right before I moved up there around late 2007, early 2008, is right before they got their most recent film and television boom. Dean Devlin brought Leverage from, I believe it was being shot in L.A. I know the show was based in Boston, but I'm pretty sure they were shooting in Los Angeles. And Dean and his production company brought Leverage on TNT up to Portland, I imagine because the tax incentives were so good. So they started their second season, and I'm pretty sure they had, I think, five, maybe even six seasons in Portland. And so once Leverage came up, then we started getting a little bit more notice, a little bit more clout. We have Portlandia, of course, and Grimm came along. I think that was the third television show that came. So we have, I want to say, three or four television shows shooting there right now, as well as the occasional union, SAG-level film come through. I think Wild with Reese Witherspoon was the most recent to come through, and, of course, that won a ton of awards. I had a handful of friends in that. But, I really lucked out because right before I moved up there was right before Leverage got there. So I feel like I had a really nice opportunity to sort of work on my film acting skills because I had such a big background in theater, particularly Shakespeare and musical theater. So it was a good opportunity for me to work on my film acting skills as opposed to stage stuff. So
nice. And you won Best Outstanding Supporting Actor for Galahad and Spamalot, which is one of my favorite musicals.
Yeah.
That had to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's, you have those shows that come around every, maybe couple of years that you feel like you can do forever. I did a production of Les Mis back in 2008. That was one of them. And Spamalot, which I did in 2013, was definitely up there. I mean, the role was originated by Christopher Sieber, who went to AMDA in New York as well. And when I was in school, I was able to see him in the show, all the original cast, including Tim Curry and David Hyde Pierce. And, so I got to talk to Chris after the show and ask him, what it was like to play the role and be on Broadway, of course. And it was just so cool that I was able to, I guess, in some weird way, come full circle and play that role myself. Was just such a huge, huge honor. Definitely one of the more fun experiences I've ever had. And then, of course, winning the Supporting Actor Pants Award was also a huge honor. But, so much fun, so much fun.
Very cool. Let's talk about The Falls, where I came in contact with you then. Was that filmed in Oregon there? Was that while you were still living there? Or
How did that movie come
about?
So I was in the very first feature film I ever did was a film called The Roomies, as in roommates. Roomies, R-O-O-M-I-E-S. It was directed by a guy named Jared Yannett. And Quinn Allen was one of the lead actors in the film, along with me and my friend Gino Romo. Quinn Allen was really good friends with John Garcia. And John was in the process of writing the script for the first Falls film, he'd already cast Nick Ferrucci in the role of RJ, but he was still looking for someone to fill the Chris Merrill role. And Quinn, through working with me on this other film, recommended me to John, and John saw a rough cut of the film, and he apparently liked my stuff, and so he called me sort of out of the blue. I hadn't even met him face to face, and he and I talked on the phone for a couple hours. He told me about this script that he was writing, and that he was interested in me playing this role, and that he'd like me to read it. And he sent me the first draft of the script, and it scared me to death. Which is something that it's something that I always try to not really look for, but I guess listen to. If I read something or come across something that I don't know, I have sort of that almost maybe an aversion to doing, because I guess just because of my own, self-doubt or, the creative, am I worthy or I'm not good enough, et cetera, et cetera. But I read it and it scared me, but I felt that I needed to do it. I felt like that it was a role that I just, I, I needed to take on and was supposed to take on. So, he and I hadn't even met face to face when I accepted the role, and that was pretty much it. We shot it over a summer, and I was doing a musical at the same time, and actually for the sequel, I was doing a play while we were filming the sequel as well, and so. They sort of go hand in hand. Now it's kind of a joke between John and I. Like, you know, if I'm ever in another movie with you, just make sure I'm not doing a play at the same time because I'm not sleeping. but you know, they're indie films, you know, and so it's sort of like guerrilla filmmaking. You know, you film it whenever you can, and I was working nights as well, and so that was a very hectic summer for me. But yeah, like the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, I look back on it, you know, that part could have been offered to, gosh, to anybody, you know, because I feel like, you know, white boy actors were a dime a dozen, you know, and I just feel so blessed to have been able to play this role. It's really changed my life. So yeah, that's
well,
how
I'm
the
sure
first
too.
One came
and-
about.
You've been around, obviously, growing up in choir and growing up in acting. There's a lot of LGBT people in the industry. Still, I'm sure you're comfortable with it, but was there any hesitation to take on a gay role?
It wasn't so much, you know, playing a gay character. It was the fear that I wouldn't be able to do it justice, I suppose, because I'm a white, straight, middle-class American male. I've never known any kind of oppression. I've never been told that I can't do something because of my sexual orientation, or I can't be married or anything like that. And so there was just this massive amount of pressure, you know, to get it right, I suppose, and to tell it the right way, because I didn't want it to become any kind of farce or caricature or sort of a play on, you know, gay Mormon themes and or anything like that. I wanted it to be, you know, the subject matter to me was very, very serious. And so, again, I just wanted to make sure that I had what it took, you know, to step into those shoes and again, just to do it justice, I suppose.
Well, you did fantastic. Like I said, both you and Nick, I think, were fantastic performance, kind of spot on. It was very, very nuanced, and I thought you did a lot of justice to the role. So thank you for that.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It's great when you really see someone that, and there's been, I'm not of that school, and there's not many that are of, like, there's so many gay actors. Why aren't they playing gay characters? But I always think it goes to the best actor. You were the perfect actor for this part. And so that's
Thank
what
you.
I think is so important, that we pick the strongest person for each role, and you did a fantastic job there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
No
Thank
problem.
You.
Well, then you went ahead and met and married an actress, the beautiful Megan Carter,
yes.
back in September
yes.
2014, who I noticed was also in the Fall sequel. So which came
yes.
first, the movie or the wife?
Well, we weren't married when we made the movie, so I suppose the movie came first. But she actually read for the role of my wife in the film, the role of Emily Merrill. And she knocked it out of the park, to be honest. And we talked about it. You know, John and I talked about it. And we decided that it would probably be best for our relationship if we didn't cast her as my wife. Because, like I told you, during the sequel, during Testament of Love, Megan and I were also doing a play together. We were playing romantic opposites in a show called Rough Crossing, which is written by Tom Stoppard. It's a comedy, total farce. Like, it's hilarious. It's one of the funniest
nice.
Shows I've ever been a part of. And so to do the flip side of that, to do a very, very heavy drama that was Testament of Love, and have to play opposite Megan in that would have been way too much. And so I was like, you know what? I'm
right.
just going to stick with you and me doing Rough Crossing. We have this other great role that you'd be right for. So, you know, happily she took it. And, yeah, I think it really saved our relationship because it would have just been way, 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 way too much. But,
well, that
yeah,
is cool.
Been,
and I love kind of – you guys
yeah.
have done a lot of stuff together. I was kind of going through both your little – And the funnest thing sounds like the, what's that little short you did where you were like Edward Norton and she was Liza Minnelli? Tell me about that one.
I forget the name of that. I didn't even write it down,
but it just sounded so much fun.
Right. It was a short film in which the acting studio that I took classes at in Portland, the Act Now Portland studio, which is led by Jana Lee Hamblin and Katie O'Grady, we all got together and decided to just make Jana and Katie a big thank you video. And so we all typed ourselves out essentially like who we most resembled, like which actor we most resembled, I guess the essence of the famous actor we resembled. So for me, it was Edward Norton. For Megan, of course, it was Liza Minnelli because she does a just drop-dead amazing impression of Liza Minnelli. I have to look up the title of it because anyone who's listening should go onto YouTube and watch it because she is just absolutely fantastic in it. We did that short film together. We've done, I think, 7 or 8 plays together, mostly musicals. She is incredibly musically talented. But it's really nice. It's really nice being able to work with someone that consistently, especially when it's, you know, someone you like and someone you love.
That is awesome.
Let me pull up the title for that.
I should have written it down. I just saw the premise of it, and I loved it.
It's called A Cast of Characters. It's a short
there
film.
There you go. Okay.
A Cast of Characters. Look it up on YouTube. It's on there. Hope you enjoy it. She plays Liza Minnelli, and she brings the house down. She's amazing.
Nice. And this Get the Girl, that's not in production yet. You guys will be starting together again pretty soon?
That's in pre-production. We actually had a read-through of the original script. It was actually about 2.5 years ago. I'm not totally sure where it's at with its pre-production process. I know that the script has been written by my good friend Adam Elliott Davis, who's a local Portland actor as well. And I play Slated to play sort of this douchebaggy boyfriend type, which I guess is just spot on for me.
He was
like, hey, you want to play with me? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But it's with a bunch of good friends of mine. Megan is in it, of course. So that's in pre-production. I just got done filming my latest feature called The Texture of Falling. And I think it's hilarious that the word falling is in it because it's sort of a running theme for my career now. The writer director, she hired me on, and she had no, like, she didn't even think about like the other fall films, and she's like, I just realized that the word fall is in this title, and I'm very, very sorry. Like, it's totally fun. But I went back to Oregon last month to do my last day of filming on that, and I play sort of a Christian Grey type character, because the lead gal and I have sort of I guess it's close to BDSM sort of relationship, but it's very tastefully done. Another sort of character type that I've never really played before. So sort of the exact opposite of Chris Merrill, I suppose.
It's
when you do something and it's over, you just run in the opposite direction and do something that's the complete reverse, which is what this character is. So hopefully
that's how you grow the most as an actor, I think. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, just keep trying different things and just keep, you know, keep creating. You know, that's what we're all meant to do. So.
So you and Megan decided to go to New York. How did that happen?
Man, it was a toss-up between New York and Los Angeles, of course. I spent about a week down in Los Angeles when Testament of Love was down there screening. And to be honest, I didn't like it. Whether it was just the city didn't agree with me or I didn't agree with the city, I didn't feel at home there, I suppose. And I think there was always this subconscious attachment to New York for me. I knew it was where Megan needed to be because, again, she's so talented, especially in the musical theater realm. And again, I knew it was where she needed to be. So it just made sense. You know, my academy is still here. There's actually a good contingent of Portland actors who've moved here over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. A lot of the fellow actors that I graduated with and went to school still live here. It felt like a good place to have a solid network already established, or at least a support system.
Right.
So yeah, you know, we sold everything, and you know, we're vehicle-less now, you know, which is so weird, but it's very humbling. It's very, very cool. We did, and we just packed everything up that we needed to, and moved. So here we are.
That is crazy. Well, good for you guys. Yeah. Constantly, is it so many more like auditioning wise everything that you've ever done before? Because there's always an opportunity somewhere, I'm sure, there. Or how busy does it make your life? It's got to make your life just hectic.
Yeah, what I've learned, I think the biggest lesson that I've taken away so far is that this industry is all about relationships, and it's not so much about you know, getting yourself out there and auditioning for everything you possibly can, but it's networking with people and getting to know them and finding out, you know, what's being workshopped, or if anyone's interested in maybe writing their own original material or anything like that. Like it's so much about who you know, not so much as what you know, because I mean there are a million of us here, and I feel like it's all about those really special kind of relationships. Like for today, for example, I mean, this may not be a great example, but I met an actor who I watched on television all the time. He played the character of Gil on Frasier, and he was also in The Drowsy Chaperone. He was in The Prestige. I forget his name off the top of my head, but he got on the subway with me. I was like, oh my gosh, I love your work. And and I had this bag with me that had the logo for the gym that I work out. He asked me what it was, and I told him, and he's like, oh, I should come and take a class. And so anyway, I feel like it's all about creating opportunity where there was none before, about you stepping out, you know, speaking to someone, you know, even if it's just a simple hello or anything like that. I feel like it's creating and maintaining those kind of relationships that really, really help.
Exactly. I'm on the outside of the industry. I've always just been a big fan of it, so I like it. But I have so many friends that are in it, and I've talked with so many people and everything. I think that's it. It's all about making those connections and kind of working from there. So
yeah,
it sounds like it's going to be a great time for you guys, though.
Yeah, it's been really great, really hard, really humbling. You know, there are sort of weeks or even days where she and I sort of trade off crying and holding the dog, because it's hard living here, or we miss home, or, you know, we miss, you know, A, B, and C about, you know, quote unquote, our old life, when it's so interesting that change is the most constant thing we have. And this is probably the biggest and one of the hardest things that we've ever done, but there is absolutely no regret about the decision coming here. It's been an incredible ride so far, and I really can't wait to see what's next. So,
well, that's awesome. I'm coming to New York next week or so. We're definitely going to have a cocktail off and introduce you to my New York friends, and we'll go from there. We'll keep making connections for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Thank you. And any excuse to get out of Brooklyn will be very well met.
There you go. Well, I promised you to half an hour. I know we got our other guest, Josh, on the line waiting to come on just a little bit.
Sure.
Thank you so much for your time today. I really hope everyone will go check out The Falls. And what's the sequel's second part again?
The sequel is called The Falls, Testament of Love. You can rent it on Hulu, on iTunes. It should be coming to Netflix Instant very soon, but the first Falls film is on Netflix Instant, so you can look it up and watch it. Look it up and watch it right now, and you can look me up on IMDb or at my website, benjamin-farmer.com, to stay updated on what's going on with me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so these things matter, I guess. So you should
exactly, they do, and I want anyone to find you, because you were a fantastic actor. You made a great LGBT film, but you've made a lot of other careers, and we're looking forward to your career really taking off in New York City there. Thank you so much for being on the show,
my friend. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, Scott.
All right, well, I'm going to have you stay on the line for just a second. I'm going to go ahead and play another music. I'm going to pull you on, and we'll talk to Joshua. Joshua's on the line. I'm going to talk to him in a second. Give me 1 second, and I'll be right with you, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, you are listening to Scott on the Left of Straight Show. We're going to go ahead and play another one. Well, you know what? Since Adele's mic didn't work last night, the mic on the piano had problems, let's play a good friend of the show. Brandon Cheyaz did the Hello cover, which I really love, and we're going to go ahead and play that out. We'll be back with Josh here in just a couple of moments.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like me to go over everything. They say that time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call you, never seem to be home. Hello from the outside. At least I can say that I've tried to tell you I'm sorry for breaking your heart. But it don't matter, it clearly doesn't tear you apart anymore.
Hello, how are you? It's so typical of me to talk about myself, I'm sorry, and I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of
work. Great interview with Benjamin. So happy you came on, and I'm so excited to have my next guest on. He defied all the odds smack in the middle of Bible Belt when he and a fellow classmate formed the first gay-straight alliance at Franklin County High School in Winchester, Tennessee. Hasn't been an easy road. It's still far from over, too, but with the strength and determination and the help of his peers, they're really making it happen. They found an advisor, went to bat for him. They staged a love-in at a school board meeting recently, and they've just really gone through it all with a lot of different diverse public reaction from the community. So it's been a hell of a ride so far, and I'm so excited he was able to call in. Still standing tall, please welcome to the show, Josh Daly. Josh, how you doing?
I'm great.
Hey, thanks so much for calling in, man. You're a real hero.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, though, to be honest.
I can imagine it's got to be a little insane just being a regular guy and all of a sudden all this attention happening from everywhere, right?
Yeah, but to be honest, it's a great way to go out your senior year.
I, can't imagine. That is so cool. Well, we're going to talk all about the GSA in just a little bit, but let's start with your story a little bit. Talk about, have you always been from Tennessee? I know you kind of had a rough road with your parents and everything, but talk about your life growing up, and when did you realize you were gay, and how's that kind of been your story up to your senior year here?
Well, actually, believe it or not, I was born and raised in New York.
Really?
Yeah. I grew up in a really religious... Yeah, I know. To be honest, grew up in a religious family, and so it wasn't really accepted in that lifestyle.
Right.
But I've pretty much, like, always known I was gay. Like, it was never... Like, I never questioned it. It was something I always knew.
Gotcha. That's kind of cool. So you're able to pretty much honest with yourself all along.
Yeah.
And even though your family's having a tough time, you still kind of were out to your friends and established some really good friendships, right?
Yeah. I pretty much just grew up on support from others because, like, they knew I was gay and because I was open about it. So I just developed a really good, like, support base. And we moved to Tennessee, actually, the end of my freshman year. And then my parents waited to kick me out until I turned 18. So.
Oh, you're kidding. That's so bad.
Yeah. I live with a friend now.
Well, that's so hard. I mean, so it's obviously they kind of knew what's going on. They lived up to what they thought were their obligations to keep you till 18, and then that was it, huh?
Right.
Wow,
so, yeah,
that's just
like,
tough.
They kicked me out over the summer of last year, and so I ended up moving to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to live with my aunt. But I moved back here recently, but I've literally put myself into two different high schools by myself.
Wow, that's just crazy. Good for you, man. That's a lot of inner strength. That's tough to do.
Yeah, and, like, considering that the last thing my parents ever told me, my mom told me that I was going to be a high school dropout, like she was, and I was just not going to, I was not doing
that.
Good
for you. Proving everybody wrong. That's awesome. Now, are you still in touch with any part of your family? You said you came from a kind of a big family. How about brothers and sisters, aunts? You had one aunt. Any other family relatives that kind of at least you can talk to so you have that sense of family at all?
Yeah, I can talk to my aunt, but sibling-wise, I'm the oldest.
Okay. So the parents just aren't for that too much.
Yeah, and I talk to a lot of the support out there.
Wow. Well, I'm just so sad to hear that story, but I'm so glad you've made your own community because a lot of people, that's what everyone says now. Family is not always who you're born with. It's who you make. And I'm so glad you've kind of found this community to kind of gather around you here.
Yeah.
So now you and Christian Bullington, I guess his name, you guys were the ones that founded this group and got it off the ground, right?
Yes, sir, we were.
How did that come about?
Well, I've only been at the school for like 6 months, so I'm fairly new here.
Right.
Because I'm from New York, and in New York, this is all common, like.
Right.
But we got the, I was actually in the art classes, Miss Terrell's art classes, and she's who our advisor is.
Okay.
And so I had brought it up to her, and she just kept, asking me about it, like, if I wanted to do it, you know. And Christian and I got together, and we collabed on it. And pretty much the steps we took was we met with Miss Terrell personally a couple times after school, and we talked about it, and then we wrote the bylaws.
Okay.
For the group. So the group itself was created correctly according to how the Board of Education wants a group to be created.
Gotcha. However, every other group has to start at school, you guys went along those procedures.
Right.
Excellent. And what did Ms. Torello initially say? What was her first reaction when you brought up to her that you wanted to start this GSA?
I mean, she was surprised, but at the same time, she wanted to start one too. She just didn't have the people to start it.
Oh, very nice. Okay. And then how did you and Christian meet in school?
Christian and I actually dated.
Did you really?
We did date, yes.
That's funny. Well, that's kind of cool, though. That's great that you guys were able to get together. But he's actually with someone else now, too, right?
Yeah, we kind of broke up. We're going through a rocky part of our relationship right now. We haven't really talked in a while, but we kind of have to stay strong and be friends, at least for the group.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. But at least you guys got this started, and I think you're getting pretty good groups from what I remember hearing. You guys started with like 20 people for the first meeting and 40 or so in the second. Are you still getting a good turnout?
Yeah, actually about the same amount. We have about 50 in the group.
That's awesome. How many is in your high school, do you know?
Oh, Lord. I know that in the senior class there's about 400 students.
Wow. That's still, 50 is a really good group, though. That's pretty awesome. Now, part of your biggest adversaries have been a lot of the parents, right? You had that one parent, especially that guy that John something rather owns a car service center, that John Wimley. He even took out a Facebook page against you guys, right?
Yeah, he compared our GSA group to ISIS.
That's ridiculous. And does he have a kid at school there?
He has a girl in ninth grade, and his daughter graduated last year. But apparently he's homeschooling them now, so.
Okay. That's just crazy. I mean, there was a lot of parents and a lot of blowback from the kids, too. You guys have kind of had to endure quite a bit just from your fellow classmates, right?
Yeah. I mean, this morning I actually put up some GSA flyers because we got the school ordered these bulletin boards, so it wouldn't be a problem of our signs getting torn down. So there's 5 places to post that every group has to post their, like, flyers or whatever.
Okay.
So I went and I put one up this morning, and a kid, like, after I left, he tore it down, and I went back and put up another one.
Good for you. Yeah, don't let yourself be bullied like that.
It's been crazy. Like, I personally have had ice thrown at me, and one point had holy water thrown on me.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Now, when I hear something about broccoli being thrown or something silly like that?
Yeah, we have one of our lesbian girls, at lunch, she had broccoli thrown at her.
That's just crazy. But you guys are sticking together pretty strong. You guys have strength there with the people that are in the group. Were you surprised? Did you and Christian know about the other gay people in the school, or were you kind of thought you guys were the only ones? Or what were you expecting to happen on your first meeting? How many people did you think were going to be there?
Well, personally, I know for a fact we have 5 gay open guys at our school. And I knew we would have a good outcome. I just didn't know how many people.
Right.
Because
that's
then
awesome.
Because the end of last summer, they petitioned for it, and they had a lot of people sign it, so.
That is so cool. Now, how did all this word start getting out about it? When did it first become a thing? Did you realize, hey, this is becoming a thing out there outside of the school? When did it first kind of hit you?
Well, what was that again? Sorry.
I said, when did it first kind of hit you that this is, like, not just something that's happening in your little town, all of a sudden the entire country is hearing about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be honest, we expected this kind of attention because we are starting it in the Bible Belt, so we expected it. But It's
got to be a little crazy, right?
Yeah, it is great to know that we have more support than hate, though.
And then I saw on you guys have your own little Facebook page, and you've got dozens upon dozens of letters from all over the country, right?
Yes, we have so many letters.
Have you been reading them? What do the usual letters say?
They're all from supporters. None of them have been hate mail. But a lot of them are just like, hey, we're here, we support you. We've actually gotten money and stuff in the mail, and it's just great.
That is so cool. Well, talk about you had all this pushback from the teachers of the community, and they had an open school board meeting about a week ago on the 8th, and they were going to let the public kind of talk about it, and then your group decided to kind of do almost like a little love-in right in front of it, right?
Yeah, we did. We had a gay pride rally at the high school, and we had over 300 people show up for it in Little Franklin County. So
wow.
That was really impressive. We had people
come
from Nashville. We had people come from Nashville, up from Huntsville, Alabama. We just had everyone come out to support it.
That is so cool. And then there was a small group that went to the school board to complain, but the school board seems, for now at least, they're kind of on your side, right?
Yeah, I mean, they can't really do much to get rid of the group because it is federally protected, and technically speaking, they would have to get rid of all school clubs if they got rid of ours.
Right. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize, that it was a Republican president, Ronald Reagan, that passed that rule where you have to have equal rights for all of the kids. If you're going to have one club, you have to have equal opportunity for all clubs to meet, as long as they go about like you did, right, some bylaws and rules to get an advisor. As long as you follow these certain steps, almost any club can be admitted into school, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Very cool. So what are you guys planning as a group now? Do you guys have some activities you're planning? You're just meeting for right now. Do you have any activities planned? You had this rally that sounds like was really successful. What's coming up for you guys?
What's coming up for us? I'm getting together with some people up at Swanee University to do our first fundraiser, which will hopefully be like a paint run. A color run is what it's called. It's like you buy T-shirts and then like you just run through paint.
Oh, okay. Like, I think I've heard of something like that. They called it a chalk run or something here. So I've heard of those before.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And I think we're going to do some stuff at the Pride in Nashville this summer.
Nice. How far is Nashville from where you guys are at?
It's about 45 minutes to an hour. We live about 45 minutes to an hour south of Nashville.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. That'd be great to have a presence there.
Yeah. To raise awareness.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
To raise awareness, for sure, and to help raise money for cause.
That's fantastic. Now, what are you thinking about for prom this year? It's your senior year. Is that something you think is going to happen, or if you had a date, you can take a date to prom, or is that too far out of the realm right now?
See, I don't think it'd be a problem, but I think our LGBT at Franklin County is smart enough to go with a person from the opposite sex and then meet their date there, you know, kind of like that.
Kind of work around if they had to.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. Do you think you're going to be able to go to the prom this year?
I'm hoping so. But if I do, I'll be taking a girl.
That's
somebody
so
cool. I've kind of promised I would take. So.
Well, you have your senior year now, so this is a big accomplishment for your senior year. What are you hoping to do after high school?
I actually hope to go to Swanee University. I'm still trying to determine what I want to study, but I was thinking somewhere along the lines of business, probably. I might be a vocal minor because I love singing. I've been singing since fourth grade.
Oh, nice. That's fantastic. And does the university you're kind of looking at, do they have a GSA? Have you looked into it?
Yes, they do. They have a it's a like a Christian-based school, but they have an LGBT house.
Really? That's interesting. That's kind of dichotomy right there, right? You got a Christian school with an LGBT GSA on there. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Ms. Terrell, actually, our sponsor, went to college there, and they had the LGBT house when she was in college.
Very
cool. And
that
was like 19-something.
Well, I got to tell you, you and Christian are my heroes for taking up and trying to do this cause. I think it's fantastic. You're getting 50 people a meeting. What would you like to see happen now that once you're gone, what do you hope for the group? How do you think the group will carry on since you, one of the founders, are going to go? You think they'll be able to keep on without you?
I think we'll be able to keep it going because Christian and I are kind of helping raise the younger ones up to be stronger leaders. We have some really good candidates that could step up.
That's fantastic. He's only a junior this year too, right? So he'll be there another year?
No, he's moving actually. He's going to
Nashville. Oh, you're kidding. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you guys have some people that can help run with the ball there, and it sounds like Ms. Terrell is going to help keep it going too, right?
Oh, yeah, she's already determined that she will lose her job over this if it comes to that.
Wow. That's great to have that kind of support. Well, like I said, I am so proud of you, so proud of Christian, to start your own Gay-Straight Alliance in the middle of the Bible Belt there in beautiful downtown Winchester, Tennessee. That's pretty much a good accomplishment, my friend.
Yeah, and actually on March 14th, and then again in April, we are having rallies for the next two school board meetings because the next school board meeting, the Board of Education is discussing, they'll be regarding all school clubs, and the opposition will be present against the group, pretty much.
Okay.
And the opposition has allied themselves with anti-LGBT hate group called Mass Resistance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
and now,
we're going
to... You guys have your Facebook page where people can support you. And do you guys have an address at the school that people can send support and letters?
Yes. I'm pretty sure you can find that on the school page.
And that the school is called Franklin County High School in Winchester, Tennessee, and they have their own website there, right?
Yes, sir.
Super duper. Well, man, it's been my pleasure getting to know you and having you on. I'm definitely going to be following this fight for you and rooting you on. Anything else you'd like to say to the listeners today?
No, not really. I mean, it was great talking to you, and maybe some supporters or something can come down and support. I mean, it'd be great to have more supporters.
That would be great. I'm going to definitely shout it out on my social media and put it on our website. And you just keep being a brave young man, and I'm so excited when you graduate. Hope you go on to some great things, and we'll kind of keep in touch with us, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, everyone, that was Josh Daly, and I'm so excited to have him on today. Josh, stay on the line for 1 second. We're going to go ahead and do another song. We have Kevin Hogan, good friend of the show, coming on in just a moment. Let's go ahead and play a little bit of my good friend Trevor Page's song, American Dream. Hold on 1 moment.
Ever since I was a little boy, it's been the same. up when they see me in the news. Yeah, yeah, I think you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
The all-American dream.
Ain't got no worries, 'cause my paper's set. My bills are brought around back. And everybody is here to celebrate. We party every
social media here at the Left of Straight and leftofstraight.com. I will be shouting out everything they'll be doing down there to keep it going, because they're facing some tough opposition and they have a lot of parents that are just going crazy there. But anyway, let's go
that
ahead and
keep on meeting. That March meeting sounds like something we want to give them support for. That March meeting is tough. When the opposition's in the room, you've got the bravest people at the front there, so strength to them. Absolutely, Scott.
Exactly. Well, I'm so happy to have you on, Kevin. Just to give you a quick introduction here, Kevin Hogan is a fantastic human being. Was on our show back last year, and we just hit it off right away. He's founded the Healing Stigma Program. Starts his website, healingstigma.com, and he has put together one-on-one peer counseling. He goes out and does seminars. There's all these things that he's doing to really help stop the stigma that comes along with so many things, and not just our LGBT community, but in everyone's everyday life, including something like starting a GSA and having your entire family or town go against you. But Kevin,
absolutely.
How you doing, man?
Wow, I am so excited. I'm so thrilled again to be talking to you and hearing these stories that do challenge stigma. I think it's, you know, these conversations are the ones that we say we want to have positive results. And if it's silenced, that's the beginning of erasure. So having the conversation is the beginning of a solution.
Exactly. And one of the things, one of the reasons Kevin's here today that I've talked about a little bit the last couple of shows, but I was so impressed when I had Kevin on the show, and I've always went with my LGBT background and trying to talk a couple serious subjects that it's really hard to do on this type of a fun entertainment show, is I really want to do some good in the world. With everything that Kevin's doing, we have now joined forces. And Kevin is now I'm so excited. Kevin is co-hosting and leading our new joint venture starting this Thursday, February 18th, and every Thursday after, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Same address is here, blogtalkradio.com/Left of Straight Show. We are dueling Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, right?
Absolutely. Applause, applause, applause. So excited.
Oh, it's going to be so much, not just fun. It's going to be fun. We actually, full disclosure, we taped our first episode because our first guest was so important. We needed to make sure we can get her on, and she wasn't available Thursday. But it wasn't just fun, but it felt really like we're going to be doing something that's going to help people, right?
Oh, you know, here's the thing. What we're doing, as you said, for taking Healing Stigma, taking the program, we're talking, you know, people are stigmatized for so many things, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical illness, HIV, AIDS status, immigration these days is such a big thing, poverty, addiction, criminal history. These are all things that people are stigmatized for. And Scott, in your absolute brilliant way of getting me to open up, we saw that right away in our first conversation. But I think, you know, as you said, full disclosure, but Rachel hit on it. If one in four people are suffering or have or will deal with mental illness, that doesn't mean one in four will get treatment. That doesn't mean one in four will be free from stigma. And so Rachel is one of these people that, for me, is a dream for our first show, because what she does to challenge, to create, to be a positive light against mental health stigma, mental illness stigma, is absolutely spectacular. And boy, she even, you know, websites and everything else, she even opens up on the show what you know, your questions to her, Scott. I thought it was brilliant, and I learned so much more when we had the chance to speak to her. So yeah, it's really a great kickoff, and I'm so excited for the show as well.
It was fantastic. Like we said, our first show we're going to do is addressing mental health issues and the stigma surrounding that. Our next show is going to have the fantastic Rob Watson, who has his own show out in Santa Cruz on Saturday nights on the AM station out there in Santa Cruz. He's going to talk about the stigma surrounding being not just a gay parent and adopting to, but being a single gay parent and the inherent difficulties come with that. And we just got some great shows lined up, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. I think the other side of it, as we talk about it, is these are people that are they're doing something about it. You know, these positive results, as I the more I hear about how people's jobs, how housing, you just said it with the whole, it's tragic, the idea of getting kicked out of your house literally for being who you are. So stigma does
right.
These things. It happens very quickly. And so when you hear what these people are doing, and, you know, again, Scott, by having the foresight, you're on the cutting edge of conversations that are going to change people's lives and, I think, save lives. So it's my pleasure, my friend. I'm looking forward to every single Thursday and more to come.
Well, it's going to be great because, like, what I bring to the show is I don't mind talking to people and kind of talking about the personal stories, but you have that background. You've created this entire program. Talk a little bit about what you do with the Healing Stigma program. Talk about your peer-to-peer counseling a bit. Talk about what you'll do. You'll go out to organizations and people. Talk a little bit about that for a bit.
Well, sure. Myself, as a high-profile stigma survivor, people can look on the site, they can check it out, they can see what my backstory is. But right now, I think the thing that's so interesting is there were many individuals in organizations, and there are many individuals and organizations now, by the way, who are publicly, privately doing their best to fight stigma through education and raising awareness. But what I found when I was stigmatized, there was no specific program or initiative that could help someone who is stigmatized, especially on the internet, high profile. There were many, many people who wanted to help, but actually in some ways hurt because they didn't know what to do. And then as those people back away, you feel even more lost and isolated. And this is
right.
Oftentimes when people do harm to themselves. So that's why I started the Healing Stigma program with Dr. Galitza Levy out of the University of Chicago. And some of the services, again, on healingstigma.com, just go on there on the website, from personal coaching for people that need that attention, I find that one-on-one oftentimes is the difference. So that's there. The organizational consulting, there are some organizations now that realize interrupting stigma in the work environment is, again, you know, the reason why we have the CEOs Against Stigma here in Massachusetts. It makes sense in the workplace. It makes sense at home in these places where people's identities can be harmed if they're stigmatized. The stigma sensitivity workshops, first responders, community leaders, HR professionals, those that have the chance to take these workshops, it is highly interactive. I enjoy them. It's really a day where the experience stays with you. And as I say, you know, if you saw someone drowning and you learned how to do advanced life-saving, you'd be very happy you took that class. And so, again, the sensitivity workshops are another service. Motivational speaking is something that I think the radio show and everything goes from there, but the times I've actually spoken on this to groups about my experience and how I survived it, that's where it came from. It's really uplifting for the LGBT community. It's uplifting for, you know, emerging communities. It's uplifting for those individuals that are looking to help those who have been stigmatized. And the last thing, don't let me forget this, is the peer-to-peer support group. For those that are being stigmatized, this is a secret group. It's totally private. Email me, kevin@healingstigma.com. And it's totally private. The conversations going on there, the type of support there is oftentimes that safe place where no one is going to judge, attack, but literally just you can voice what is going on and hear what others have to say. That support group is always there for those that are being stigmatized. Did I forget anything, Scott?
No, I think that is awesome. I hope they really take advantage of that because it is, like you said, it's very low-key, one-on-one, private group. So it's like that's the worst you want to do is feel stigmatized about being stigmatized, right? So it's nice
Precisely.
To have that open community where you can really feel free to talk. And I think you are such a great listener, but you are such a great communicator and able to digest what these people are going through not only personal experience, but just learning and listening really deep to a story. You're just fantastic at that, my friend.
Well, as I said, it's one of those things. If you have an entire dump truck of lemons dumped on you and you learn how to make lemonade, you're going to share that recipe. You're not going to hang on to it selfishly.
Right, right. Now tell everyone else, you're also not, besides doing this, you kind of offer your wisdom to the Huffington Post and you're an advisor with the president or on a president council. Talk about that.
Well, okay, the Huffington Post is absolutely one of those things where I have the chance to write a blog, as Rachel does. That's one of the things that comes up in the interview, which is lovely. So on a regular basis now for newly renamed, new branded Huffington Post Queer Voices, I'm a regular contributor there. When I work on things when the time is right, I submit them, you know, so I'm always researching. I'm a very curious mind. I write poetry. My first book of poetry was just published by Antrim House Books. That's out. Maria Strat is the name of it. It's a Gaelic word. Don't be afraid. If you just click on my bio on the Healing Stigma website, people can see the book is there and can click on it and take a look. But, again, that's one of the ways expression for me was very important, and as a former teacher for many, many years that taught poetry, writing poetry was one of these things that after being stigmatized and finding out what my expression was going to be, it came as a result of being stigmatized. It's the same way, you know, for those that are interested, check out the site for the radio program as well, and it's so exciting to see that Rachel is written and now in the process of seeing it come to fruition, a full musical that has to do with mental health. So, I mean, these
right.
are the things that happen oftentimes when expression meets positive energy. That's why this show is so important, and you recognize that these conversations that we're having with so many people doing so many good things, they're all unique in my mind, and they all deserve a voice. So it's just such a pleasure. I mean, the time flew by as well. That's one of the other best things I could say. I absolutely love talking to her, and like I said, you're the best at asking questions. Then I just interrupt in my old Boston Irish way.
Well, we had a great time, that's for sure. And I can't wait for everyone to listen to our first episode this Thursday, 5 p.m., right here on blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight, the exact same place you're listening to right now. But it is going to be Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. So, so excited to have that start Thursday. And we've one of the things I've learned from you, I'm just so excited about the artistic expression that helps get over that stigma. You have your poetry. Rachel's done this fantastic through her music, and that's just a really strong healing influence. I always knew the arts healed you to make you feel better about just yourself in general. When you go to a play, when you go to a musical, you feel so much better when you come out. But it really helps you deal with that kind of stigma. You can use it as a tool as well, right?
Well, you know, that's your other question that was so serious, and I forgot it as usual, but now you remind me, which is so good, is the fact that I've had the chance to be invited to the White House twice as a bisexual leader. My community, as a bisexual male, I happen to be part of the rainbow community of some of the, you know, by statistics, some of the most closeted of the spectrum are bisexual males. And again, for those that aren't out, oftentimes invisibility, oftentimes harm, and other things follow. So after what had happened to me, I had the opportunity to be a board member of the Bisexual Resource Center, it's the oldest nation's bi-specific organization in support of bisexual awareness and support. As part of that, and part of the Bisexual Leadership Roundtable, I've been to the White House twice to hear and work on what is going on for the community to be recognized. I mean, you know, politics out of it. This current president was the first president to ever say the word bisexual. So for me, my community was discovered by this president. You know, so to actually hear the word uttered by the president was a huge thing, but that doesn't mean the work is over. The work is just beginning. And to answer your question, I'm on a committee now for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to develop better trauma-informed communities through interfaith congregations. And that will be, I'll be presenting later this month, hopefully it's a very busy schedule, but later this month I'll be presenting a small taste of the Healing Stigma program. That's why I'm on it, as a stigma survivor and as, you know, really an LGBT advocate, a human rights advocate. The work that the people are doing is just amazing. And it's a lot of work to do, but, you know, politics aside, there's a lot of good things that I've seen in Washington that are really trying to help the people who need it most.
That is awesome, and I'm so excited to be working with you, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So just to give you guys all this information, and we don't want to overflow you, so it's going to be all on each of our websites. But, of course, my website for the Left of Straight show is www.leftofstraight.com. Kevin's site for Healing Stigma itself and all the programs that he offers is www.healingstigma.com. And then just have a great Thursday night being introduced to a lot of people who have really overcome a lot of great things. Please go to our new website, www.healingstigmaradio.com. There right now you're going to see all about Rachel Griffin. You'll learn a little bit more about me and Kevin down the line. We're always going to be looking for sponsors for the new show, so anyone out there that is looking to sponsor and that think you'd be great addition to our show, please give us a holler. There's a contact page there. But I'm looking really forward to this, Kevin.
Oh, I am too. And that's why I was so excited. I wanted you to be the first one to say the site. You have such a great voice for it, my friend. You say it, the hair goes up on the back of my neck, and I've already seen the site, and I literally can't wait to click on it once the power comes back on here.
Exactly. We're having our own little northeast section of the world issues here all of a sudden this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, but we still
well,
got
hey,
it done.
Kevin,
that's what the show is. The show will go on for those that need it. So here you go. Whether the power's on or not, this show's going on. And thanks so much. I am so, so honored to be on board with this, Scott. You're really fantastic at what you do. I'm so excited.
Well, I enjoy working with you, my friend, and I think we're going to have a great time. We're going to go ahead and call it the end of a beautiful Left of Straight show today. I want to thank my guests, Benjamin Farmer, Josh Daly, and Kevin Hogan. Kevin and I are going to talk in just a minute off the air. Please tune in next week on this Thursday, of course, February 18th, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, for Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Then on Monday, we'll have an all-new Left of Straight on the UBN network, ubnradio.com. We're having the fantastic entertainer, Broadway singer, actor Levi Kreis on. And next Tuesday, we'll be back with two more fantastic guests that I'll have on the website. But thanks so much for being part of the Left of Straight Show, everyone. This is your host, Scott Fullerton. As always, we're going to end our show with a little bit of Trevor Page's Warrior. Be the warrior that you are this week, and we will talk to you on Thursday. And it's not playing, so hold on 1 second. It says it's playing. I think we may have to play a different song for you today. Let's go ahead and do a little bit of John Williams and Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, and we will see you next week. No, that's not going to happen either. Kevin, you know how some things always go wrong when you don't want them to go wrong? I think now my power is going up. There we go.
There you go.
All right, guys, thanks for being part of the Left to Straight Show. We will see you next week.
Open your eyes and tell me, is this what you believe? Into the depths of darkness, as dark as it can be. I will hold you tight and we will rise up with the sun. With my hand in yours, companion, we'll fight until we've won. Can't you see it, the beauty? I'll keep trying to open up your eyes, and I won't concede. I will put on my armor, and I will stand up tall. There's nothing with so much to lose.